Welcome to another episode of Conduct Detrimental. Dan Lust, joined by Zach Bryson, and first-time guest to the show, Bryce Goodwin. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Going well. Thanks for having me on, Dan.
Doing well, as always. Getting into that start of the school year, which is always always an adjustment after a fun summer.
Speaking of the start of school year, when you work full-time, there are no summer breaks, so enjoy this while you can. So, Bryce, you're the first time you're joining us on the show. You are 2L. You and I have been speaking since before you were in law school. So you're in Regents in Virginia. I know you hail from the great state of Georgia, so imagine you have some Bulldogs takes, maybe, maybe not. And Zach, you're in Elon in North Carolina. So we got two Southern boys. Can I say Southern boys, or am I missing up where the Mason-Dixie line is here?
Absolutely. I'm a Georgia boy, born and bred. Proud fan of the two-time defending national college football champion Georgia Bulldogs up in Virginia Beach for law school and enjoying every minute.
Zach, where is the Mason-Dixon line? Where do we cut off with the Mason-Dixon line? And is that a real thing or no?
It is a real thing. I mean, it is an imaginary line, but it is a real thing. And its cutoff is somewhere around Maryland. It's either right above or right below Maryland. So definitely both of us are unquestionably quote unquote Southern gentlemen.
Well, that's to be determined. The jury's still out whether you're gentlemen, but you know, Southern. Yes. Okay. So start of the school year, my kids had their first day of preschool today. I started teaching at New York Law School back again for the semester. This past week we had off for Labor Day. So we're going to be back for our third class next week. But while we have you guys here, Bryce, I wanted to have you on in particular, and you know, we'll talk about what the topics are. We're going to talk a little bit about a very interesting NIL case that Jason Morin, one of our contributors, broke and kind of half broke the internet and Gators Twitter and Bears Twitter, but we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about Danny Medvedev's interesting sports piracy comments that he made at the US Open, which I think are a bigger deal than people are making it, but we'll certainly get into that. And then, Zach and Bryce, as you guys know, we have a really interesting partnership we wanted to announce with Teamwork Online, a panel that we're running really this time, Tuesday of next week. So we got a couple items on the agenda. Before we do that, and Bryce, while we have it, I know you're short on time, a little bit of an announcement. Bryce, we're going to make our editor-in-chief of conductdetrimental.com for at least the year. We'll see if you want to stay for your 2L and your 3L year, but we'll at least grab you for the 2L year. And, you know, as things have gotten busier on my end, I'm starting up the sports practice. Dan Wallach, I don't know if Dan is listening to this episode, but Dan will say he's a jet setter. He's all over the place. So, you know, I'm wearing a couple hats. I think we're going to have another, like we have the NIL Hour. I think we're going to have another podcast that joins the fold. You know, it's in the short term, but as we've started to grow and do more things, we want to leave room for people to kind of help grow out like the website. So, you know, we haven't had really someone running the website like full time in the last maybe year or so. Jason did it initially. And then, Jason Morin did initially. And then that went to Evan Mattel, two Hofstra boys, but we've taken this out of the Hofstra family and we're bringing it to the South, Bryce. So you have the platform. Tell everybody what you expect for the year, your year at least in terms of in charge of the website and, you know, what you're looking for in terms of contributors.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I just wanted to say thank you, Dan, for the opportunity. I've really enjoyed my time working with Conduct in a greater capacity since that day we first spoke almost a couple years ago now. Seems crazy that it's almost been a couple of years. But we have a lot of interesting things coming up for this year. We have, if any of the Conduct listeners are soccer fans as well, I myself have been working on an interview series with MLS Legal Counsel to kind of learn more about the nature of their role. And we have some exciting articles pending with some awesome clubs in the league. We have a lot of great articles coming up from some awesome authors that you guys have already become accustomed to. And something new that we are trotting out this year is a Conduct Detrimental sponsored writing competition. So it's going to be a chance for all of our listeners and people that want to get more involved with Conduct to create a written work product that's talking about something about which we're all so passionate. Hopefully the idea is with that work product, you're going to be able to use it for your advantage when you're applying to jobs that you're really looking to do. So more information to come on that in the coming days. We're hoping to get all of that released within the next couple of weeks, if not the next month. So be on the lookout for that. But that's the headline for at least the fall semester, with even more exciting stuff to come in the spring.
Cool. Yeah, that's super exciting, Bryce. And I'm happy to have you on board. And just so people know how these things happen behind the scenes, I get a lot of, we get a lot of people reaching out, like, how do you get involved with Conduct Detrimental? Bryce is now the guy running the Gmail account, con detrimental@gmail.com. If you want to get involved and you're a listener of the podcast, that's the way to do it. You email the inbox. If it gets sent anywhere else, I can't guarantee it's going to get to the inbox. That's the easiest way to do it. Or you can reach out to Bryce directly, or just send an email to con detrimental@gmail. I was telling Bryce this the other day on the phone, and Evan Lotato actually at St. John's had this idea for this writing competition. And he said, can we do this? And I'm like, we could do anything we want. The sports law field is very, I don't want to say barren, but it's a blank, it's a canvas. You know, so you guys want a writing competition? We can do it. We have a lot of people reach out with like law review articles and like, I'd love to get this published. Where can I do it? And I'm like, you know, it's a question that's come up a lot since we did this, you know, started doing this about 4 years ago. So we want to make a competition that's great. We kind of legitimately make it up as we go, and people seem to enjoy it. We did that 10 under 10, you know, 10 attorneys with under 10 years of practice earlier this year, which was really well received. So why not do a writing competition? Bryce, yeah, I don't know much more time you have, but I'm certainly happy to have you here with us and spreading the gospel of sports law. How about that?
Absolutely. I mean, we all love this so much. This is a great platform through which we can, you know, explore this passion. And I'm just so glad that I'm going to get the opportunity to share that with so many more people.
All good. Bryce, you can hop. I know you got some prior engagements. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. I know you're busy. But all good, Bryce. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Dan.
So Bryce is going to leave us now. Listen, I called him up on very short notice. Zach called you up on very short notice. Conlon, who joins us later in the show, I called him up on very short notice. Can I tell you what goes on in this crazy sports law world? Can I tell you something, Zach?
I would love to hear it, Dan.
So listen, little eye of the storm. I teach on Mondays. Okay. This is now fantasy football season. So I had two drafts. Okay. I have Sports Better Court on Wednesdays. I had a parent teacher conference last night. There's just a lot of stuff going on. So I found myself with a little window of time. My wife's going to dinner tonight. She said, I got to watch the kids. So nanny's here for another half hour or so. Got to sneak it in. So I it's funny. I take on these new things and my wife's like, what's the why do you keep taking on all this new stuff? And I'm like, oh, there's no downside. And she goes, the downside is you're going to have very little free time and you're gonna be running around like a crazy person. I'm like, no, that's not true. I got it under control. Dirty little secret, Zach. My wife Rachel does not listen to this podcast, but if she did, she would be hearing right now that she was 100% right. But she doesn't listen to this podcast, so it's like it didn't happen. It's like if a tree falls in a forest and no one's around to hear it, if I admit that my wife was right and she doesn't listen to this podcast, it's almost like I didn't admit it.
Almost like it. And Dan, for as long as I've known you, you've been the man that wears many hats and seem to be wearing more and more the longer that I know you. So I 100% can understand that, and everything being busy with the quote unquote real world kind of starting back after the holiday weekend. But you always do manage to find some time to sneak it in. So, I mean, it seems to still be working, although I'm sure is quite stressful.
It is. Well, let's get to substance. At the end, I'll tell you some a really fun activity. We'll leave that for the end if I remember. Otherwise, we'll talk about it next week. Okay, sports law. Zach, we'll make a note of this marker in the show notes just so people know if they want to just skip ahead to the sports law. But we'll do it right here. I have really two stories on my docket. There's other things we're going to cover, and without getting into it, we have this other show again that's starting. I'm not going to mention who's doing it, what they're talking about, but they. Assuming it comes to fruition, it'll be a sports deal / transactional show. So those guys will cover some stuff that we don't traditionally get to on the show. We generally tend to cover kind of litigation events. It's really where my head goes. I think those are the juiciest stories, but there seems to be an audience for the litigation stuff. So we're going to talk at least here about one litigation event I find to be fairly interesting. Zach, I think you can take the lead here. What's the biggest story? Pop quiz. What's the biggest story in the NIL world right now?
That would probably be Gravon Dexter's NIL deal and lawsuit relating to that deal.
It is. No one's talking about it. You want to hear something crazy?
Go for it.
I keep prefacing with you want to hear something crazy. We broke that story. Jason Moore broke that story. Jason, I won't say his means, but he was the first that found this case. He tweeted it out, and Jason just put it out there with a really good thread about this lawsuit. We're certainly getting into it, but all the credit to Jason. That actual post has in excess of 1 million impressions. So credit to Jason for finding it, tweeting about it. And then the problem is the aggregators come in and they take it and they don't give Jason credit, because the truth is at that point, it's a public record and people can kind of find it. But, you know, these NFL aggregators kind of ran with it. And let's say Jason had 1 million impressions. He would have gotten well more if people had given proper attribution to his tweet. But it is what it is. So I said, we'd say it's a big story. It's certainly near and dear to the conduct world. I think Jason's going to join one of the shows next week. Before we do that, let's just give a brief synopsis. So Zach, you want to give the kind of high level of what's going on with this lawsuit? I think it's very much a precedential case, the first of its type, as far as I'm aware of.
Yeah. So it's definitely really interesting with some pretty big implications. So Dexter was in school, signed an NIL contract at a time where that was legal to do in Florida. And, you know, there's stipulations about whether the deal itself was legal, but ignoring those for now, goes into the draft, gets signed, is now a member of the Chicago Bears as a rookie. He's got a $6.72 million contract with them and, you know, doing great. That's an awesome thing to get a contract, have that. And the people that he signed this NIL deal with back whenever he was still in college basically gave him close to $500,000, around $450,000 as a one-time lump sum payment. And the consideration on the other end was 15% of his future earnings for the next 25 years, which is a long period of time, but something that he entered into was lucrative for him at the time. And now it's kind of coming back and biting him just a little bit, because he's got this $6.7 million contract with the Bears. Over the lifetime of that deal, according to the terms of the deal, he would owe the company he signed this NIL deal with close to $1 million. So that's a lot of money. And at this point, he's trying to walk it back and taking it to court to have the court invalidate it, because at the time it was signed, a deal of this type was not allowed under the Florida NIL statute.
Okay, so let me give a little bit of background on Big League Advance. So Big League Advance was a company started by a former minor leaguer named Michael Schwimmer. And a lot of these facts are coming from friend of the show, Joe Pompliano. Joe's been kind enough to publish some of our stuff in his Huddle Up newsletter, but check out Joe. Joe's a great resource for this stuff. So he had kind of a viral thread. This was, I guess, 2 years ago. Wow, I'm looking back at this a long time ago. So Fernando Tatis signed a $340 million deal with the San Diego Padres. Okay, mind you, Big League Advance, we'll talk about what they are. They're basically, I would call this like a predatory loan company. And this company started in 2016 by Michael Schwimmer. It really made headlines really five years after it was created. That was in 2021. Fernando Tatis signs for $340 million. And Big League Advance is there on the other side saying, hey, fork over our $30 million. So similar concept, very similar thing. These minor leaguers, this is why, you know, seemingly the concept of Michael Schwimmer, right? In minor league baseball, you get, you know, if you make it to the majors, you make a lot of money. But there's this period when you're in the minors, you're going through single A, double A, triple A, you know, high A, you know, low A. There's years that you're spending in the minors. And yes, you might make it to the majors, you might not. And if you have a good chance of making the majors, but you literally cannot afford to live while you're riding the bus going through single A and double A and triple A, right? Like maybe you need some money up front. So that's what the concept is. Big League Advance. This company, Big League Advance, will look at your statistics and they'll make it gamble on you whether they think you're going to make the pros and how much money you're going to make. So they'll give you, right, like $350,000 in exchange for X amount of your income. And if you never make it to the big leagues, right, let's say they give you $1 million. And let's say you never make it to the big leagues, they don't get recouping on their investment. But it just takes one guy like a Fernando Tatis for them to kind of clean up and for them to operate in the black. So the reason why this deal is an interesting one, particularly with respect to Dexter, this is an NIL deal. Maybe there's been news about this before. I certainly haven't heard of it, if there was, but this is a college athlete who, in a similar position to a minor league player, doesn't have any money, right? Like in theory, doesn't have the money. Like, well, I guess NIL athletes can make money. And I guess minor league baseball players can make money, but you're going to make a lot more when you get to the NFL. The concept in Zach that you point out is like, okay, this guy was going to give up a percentage of his income and he was going to get some amount of money up front, $460,000, whatever it is. The question is, whether this deal is valid and enforceable under the laws of Florida, whether a college athlete can is even able to do that. I'm not aware of another big league advanced NIL contract. I'm sure there are others, but this is the first, as far as I'm aware. Again, somebody can correct me. Someone can email me and tell me I'm wrong. Try to follow this stuff pretty closely. Certainly not as one high profile as this, but this is the first NIL lawsuit. Someone suing someone on the basis of deliverables of the NIL contract. And when Dexter got drafted by the Bears in the second round, Big League Advance hit him up and they're like, hey, where's our money? And this lawsuit results. So Zach, I think this lawsuit's got a lot riding on the line. It's this concept of like, do Florida laws, NIL laws have any teeth? Do any of these state NIL laws have any teeth? We're about to find out.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to kind of watch it unfold to see what teeth, if any, they have, and to see how they attack something like this. And it's also really interesting from the perspective that at the time that Dexter's agreement was signed, this wasn't allowed under Florida statute. But since then, the Florida statute has been kind of had some of those guardrails taken down, and it's something that might be more permissible now. So it's going to be a really interesting kind of concept and battle to see, you know, which party prevails, to what extent is this going to be something that happens going forward, is it not? And then also, like you said and talked about a little bit, you know, are any of these NIL laws something that is going to have any teeth or any validity or veracity going forward that can actually be litigated over?
So this is don't say we just call out our friends of the show. This is from a random person online. Their handle is, maybe they listen, Atlas2686, points out in Jason's replies to this very, now he's got 1.4 million impressions on it. It's a shame. There's bigger people, bigger followers that kind of, with bigger followings than Jason that stole this, almost stole his, I mean, I think I can say this, I think it's just factual. They pulled his tweet almost word by word, line by line, even like the spacing of how Jason's, you know, put this together with the emojis, and they just ripped it. I don't think that was particularly kind, that you don't have to provide attribution. You know, there's no, I guess we could talk, there's no crime for like plagiarism unless you have some kind of copyright or some protectable format. I just think it's Bush League. And when you have someone like Jason, who's a young lawyer, who's put in the time, obviously did the legal research on this, you have, you know, these aggregator accounts that are writing in a way that appears to be written by a lawyer, like, oh, shocker, it came from a lawyer. So shout out to Jason Morin. If you don't already follow Jason, you should. He's Jason_Morin on Twitter. I was listening to a podcast today and they said, follow me on X at, and they gave their handle. I'm like, we're not calling it X. We're calling it Twitter. I'm sorry, Elon. I'm just not calling it X. Zach, are you with me on this crusade? Not calling it X.
I'm definitely with you. I still say that I saw a tweet that I was on Twitter. Yeah. It's going to be one of those things that's going to be difficult to get out of the vernacular. And I think I saw somewhere, I can't remember the exact numbers, but how much brand cachet and value that Twitter lost by changing its name was astronomical. So it's, yeah, definitely still Twitter in my mind and the mind of many others.
So Atlas2686 on Twitter. You hear me, Elon? I said Twitter. He quote, this is from our random guy on Twitter. Quote, he signed the deal in May of 2022 when these protections were still in the Florida bill. Quote, parentheses, Florida removed them this year. Interesting. Meaning that the company outright broke Florida state law by writing a contract that went past his colleagues. Why wouldn't he sue? Interesting. So give you just a back and forth. And we have not heard the Michael Schwimmer and Big League Advance have not commented. Dexter's attorneys have not commented. I'll give you kind of an interesting hypothetical, right? If you have a contract that's illegal, right? It is illegal under the law, but you do it anyway, right? Certainly you could try to, you know, void the contract based on the premise of illegality, frustrated purpose, all of that stuff. But, you know, Jervon Dexter accepted that money, accepted $436,485 in exchange for 15% of his pre-tax NFL earnings. He accepted that money. Right. And this was a deal he signed in 2022. So he had very limited eligibility left. The guy just went pro, got drafted in 2023. So, I mean, we have to see what the numbers were. We have to hear what those conversations were. But I don't think those numbers make sense. So maybe, you know, and obviously Dexter is the, and maybe people should know, Dexter is the plaintiff in this lawsuit. Big League Advance is asking for the money. Dexter is actually suing to end this and make sure, you know, to make, I guess, theory, some sort of a declaratory judgment to make sure that this agreement, you know, is null and void. But the question is, like, I don't know, like maybe just give back that $436,000 and we can have a conversation. Like, how do you get the money and also say the contract is void? And I don't know what he's paying his lawyers. Maybe his lawyers are, you know, if it's a declaratory judgment, I don't think the lawyers would be working on a contingency. They would probably be billing hourly. So I don't know. I would think Big League Advance and the just in the auspice of good press and whatnot, if the guy gave back his $436,000 and maybe and then some, maybe they'd be willing to settle this. But like, the guy's not going to put his 400 grand on the table. I think it's a non-starter for Big League Advance, especially because he's not claiming this is illegal until after he was drafted, right? After a period of time where he's already been in the NFL. We're now in September. He's been in April. You know, he's been around since April when he was drafted. You know, I think, and its agreement was done in 2022. So I question what took so long. And then, you know, before I get too far ahead of my skis, according to this complainer, at least according to the word on the street, some of the kind of people out here, that this agreement wasn't really reviewed by counsel, by agents. It was just something that he signed. So maybe that sounds like part of the reason, but certainly you can't keep the money while also calling the contract illegal. As much as we want to paint Big League Advance as like the victim here, or like not the victim, as like the big, big bad guy, like, I don't know, they just lost 400,000 and now the guy wants to deem the contract null and void. Get back your 400,000 and then you can have a conversation and as to how much money you owe, if anything, but certainly like give them back their money. I mean, that's where the conversation should start.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I don't see a situation where you take this to court and you don't have to at least give that money back. And that's not something that I think should be something that he's afraid of at this point, because he's got an NFL contract worth millions of dollars. I mean, it's, you know, not the largest contract ever, but $6-7 million is a pretty decent salary for a rookie contract. And I think you have to give it back because, like you said, Dan, they both entered into this contract that was illegal at the time of signing. And Big League Advance or Big League Advantage would have known this or should have known this. And then because he's a student in Florida, should be availing himself of these things. So I agree that you can't really complain about it and keep the money. I don't think that's something that is a realistic outcome, but it would be interesting to see how much of it he does have to give back if Big League Advance gets anything from the contract that they signed, despite it being technically illegal under Florida law at the time. And, you know, even if all they get is their money back, I think that's a good outcome for them. They're definitely not going to be put out by that. I mean, they did enter into a contract that's illegal, and there's plenty of other very lucrative contracts and things that they've done that are similar to this. Like an example is L.A. De La Cruz in baseball will pay up to 10%.
Oh, I didn't realize L.A. De La Cruz is a Big League Advance guy.
Yeah, up to 10% of his career earnings, wow. Which would be massive for them. So, wow. You know, if you've got that on the horizon, you're
playing the lottery. But if you're fronting that money, you're taking the risk. Like, we can't make you the big bad guy just because you're correct on some of your risky investments. Like Fernando Tatis, for every guy like Fernando Tatis or Ellie De La Cruz, there's 98 guys that like we never hear of that don't do anything. So, you know, it certainly goes both ways, but interesting to see how this shakes out. People ask, like, when is the first NIL lawsuit going to happen? We're here. I mean, maybe there's one that went under the radar that no one's caught. This is the biggest one by far that's kind of come in the radar. So this is it. I would think whenever I do in my class, I do these NIL timelines. I'm like, you know, July 1st of 2021. I talk about like November of 2019 when California passed fair pay to play. Then I talk about the Cavender twins, that kind of Miami violation in February 2023. There's some interim dates in the middle, but September of 2023, our first real notable NIL related lawsuit from deal deliverables. You had other NIL lawsuits on a class action level, but it's the main one. Okay, Zach, good. We good on this? I feel like we covered it sufficiently. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely really interesting. Definitely the first big one. It's been interesting to be in law school and kind of following all of these things as they develop and really heat up to pretty much a boiling point here.
Okay, so let's do this one pretty quick. I want to keep this episode somewhat tight. So I've been following the U.S. Open very closely this week. For whatever reason, there seems to be a lot of buzz. I think it's Alcaraz, just there's a new face at the top. It's not just like the same old guard. So as we record this, we are down to our final four. I guess they call it the semifinals in fancy U.S. Open terms. But as we record this, we are in our final four of the U.S. Open. You got Alcaraz and Medvedev on one side of the bracket. You have Shelton and Novak, with a lot of attention being paid to tennis. And probably because, I mean, Alcaraz is like the new top dog on top. We're setting up for another Alcaraz-Novak final. But before we get there, one of our four semifinalists, or I was going to say final four, but I guess in tennis speak, you call it like semifinal, just like instead of saying 15-0, you call it 15-love because you got to be really fancy. Danny Medvedev, did I get a slight laugh out of you, Zach?
That was a chuckle there. Yeah, you just gotta be a little fancy.
Slight laugh. My students in my New York Law School class are sometimes afraid to laugh, but like you can laugh. Your professor will grade you a little bit higher if I get some pity laughs every once in a while. I'm gonna give you a comment from Danny Medvedev, one of these four semifinalists. It's a quote that he said a couple days ago, and he's talking about that he wants to like watch other people's matches while the U.S. Open's going on. So someone asked him if he's able to watch these matches, right? He gave this really interesting quote that I think some people would pay attention to, but us as the lawyers, we got to dig in. Quote, I guess in a lot of hotels, they have Spectrum, so I cannot watch it on TV anymore. I don't know if it's legal or illegal, but I have to find a way because I cannot watch it on TV. So I got the internet and probably pirate websites or something, and I watch tennis there. I have no other choice. So you have Danny Medvedev. I think his name is like Daniil Medvedev, but I'm a Danny growing up, so I'm partial to Danny. Medvedev is out here admitting to pirating these events. So just so you know, and I went to summer camp with a kid who like was illegally streaming videos on like Napster and Kazaa, and got like a notice from the federal government that like he was illegally downloading materials, which was copyright infringement. And now, and you know, this day and age, we don't like, it's not like Kazaa and Napster. We were like, we're actually downloading pirated content. Most of the stuff is being streamed. So I think that's kind of important. Our levels for piracy is a crime. Like don't get it wrong. There's just different levels of it. You could be punished. You know, I think the numbers I saw, like you can get a 6-figure fine, get even be considered a felony and put in prison. You know, it's misdemeanor offenses, but there's like a lot of money here. So like you can, a lot of people watch it. I have some fun facts and figures about like the kind of sports piracy market, but like just generally, I want people to know these kind of levels of risk when you're dealing with piracy. So what Medvedev is admitting to, he admitted to it. Like, it's not like allegedly, he's saying he did it, is streaming, right? He's saying he watches it. He's not saying he downloads it. Okay, so streaming is at our lowest level of piracy. It's the lowest form. You're not downloading it. You're not like, you're just watching it. You haven't done really anything else. The next level after that is downloading the material, actually having it locally sourced. You're not like watching it on a site. You now have a copy of that material. And then beyond that is the concept of hosting, right? That's how people download the material. If there's a host for it somewhere, or that's how people illegally stream it, if there's a host. So in the kind of pyramid of piracy, the hosts have the most serious punishments. Those are the ones more akin to felonies. And then you kind of work your way down the spectrum between downloading and streaming. So Zach, Medvedev has admitted to a crime, not like a bad thing or like moral turpitude. He's admitting to a crime. Do you, I mean, what do you think comes of this? I mean, if I'm the federal government, like said, a really high profile guy, basically I'm streaming stuff illegally and I know it's illegal. He goes, I don't know if it's illegal or legal. Spoiler alert, like ignorance of the law is no excuse, right? We all know that from law school. Doesn't matter if he knows the law or doesn't. He's just admitted to a crime. Like, what do you think comes of this?
Yeah, I think it's definitely an interesting situation. Definitely another one that you just kind of chuckle at reading, that someone is literally admitting to breaking federal law and pirating something. It'll be interesting, though, to see if anything comes of it. I personally don't know how much, if anything, does. Now, there very well could be. I mean, he has broken the law, but a lot of the piracy laws and a lot of the piracy-focused stuff is about those trying to go after those people that are hosting it, doing that actual, you know, they are providing it to people. They're the ones actively pirating it, and you're watching it. You're still participating in that crime, but you are, in a sense, the low man on that totem pole. They want to get the people that are higher up that totem pole. So there might be some inquiry. There might be something that happens. They might try to go see where he was, but ultimately I think this looks really bad for Charter. Because you're watching and listening to a tennis champion, someone who's in the semifinals of the U.S. Open, say that he can't watch it in his hotel and he has to resort to pirating it, which, again, not a good thing. It is a crime. Not saying that it's okay to do or should be something that's done, but that's just a really bad look for them. And so I kind of chuckle at that for that reason. Instead, I mean, at the end of the day, he did and has admitted to doing something that is against the law. But I think that, you know, whenever they go after piracy, they're going to look for a little bit of a bigger fish than the end user most of the time. Not saying that's always.
Medvedev's kind of the big fish. I mean, how much more? I've never heard of an athlete admitting to this. And again, just because, you know, he's saying that, you know, he says at the end, I have no other choice. Like, no, you do have a choice. You have a choice, like, I don't know, not to do that, right? Or like, you're an athlete that makes millions of dollars. Like, I don't know, you can get like Slingbox or, you know, sign in with your Verizon account. Like, there's other ways to get it. It's on ESPN Plus. Like, it's not like it's Pac-12 and you're trying to get like the Pac-12 network, which like nobody gets. Like, it's on ESPN. Like, I don't know. This seems pretty easy. And the problem with what Medvedev said, he's like, at the highest level, if you don't punish him, like, who do you punish for this? So could you fine him $10,000? You send an example like, hey, we are punishing Medvedev. We're fining him $10,000. That'll send like a pretty fair warning sign. And if the goal is to discourage this activity, then probably would go a long way. So here are those fun facts and figures I said I had here. Try to do this really quick. I don't want to make this such a long episode, but this is according to the Global Innovation Policy Center, an affiliate of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They said, quote, the U.S. economy loses at least $29.2 billion in revenue each year because of digital privacy. Okay. $30 billion in revenue each year because of digital privacy. This is from a different country, but, you know, again, this is, we're talking about all issues here. A new report published by the UK's Intelligence Property Office reveals that 4 million people illegally streamed live sports in 2022, that they admitted to doing that. I actually think that number is fairly light, but that's just one country. Just this is a global issue. It's not really just like a US issue. So you have Medvedev coming to the country. He's a Russian national. He's basically admitting like, hey, I'm not paying, you know, local ESPN. I'm just going to stream this illegally. Like, there's a problem here. Like, rules are not meant to be broken. So it wouldn't shock me if there's some ramifications here. I got one other one for you. Like, I don't know, everyone's going to watch as we're recording this. We're recording this on Thursday before the NFL game, before the Lions and Chiefs. But there's going to be a bunch of games this weekend. They're going to play this before every game, right? This little preface from the NFL. This broadcast is copyrighted by NFL Productions for the private use of our audience. Any other use of this broadcast or any pictures, descriptions, or accounts of the game without the consent of the NFL Productions is prohibited. Okay, they say that. They don't say that for no reason. They say that because they will come after you. And like, at some point, someone's got to get hit. They hit these bars. They hit people all the time for doing this. Like, you can hit a professional athlete. Like, you send a huge message. So, no, there were betting odds in this. It'd probably be in the vicinity of like 6-1 that anything happens to Medvedev. But I take it at those odds at the Conduct Detrimental Resorts World and Casino. I'd grab it at 6-1. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to clarify that I don't mean nothing's going to happen. I think a fine is very likely. I mean, between
you don't think he's going to go to jail. You don't think they're going to
throw him? I don't think he's going to go to jail from this. Is what I
mean. Me neither.
I think probably going to get a fine at least from the federal government. The U.S. Open probably has something similar to the NFL does. I'm almost certain they do, and so they can come after him and fine him and do something. But you know, a fine to him will set a huge example and will be in the news for people streaming it. But it does little, in my opinion, to really address the core issue, which is the people that are hosting it and the ones that are actively disseminating that information to people. Like, whether you're a tennis professional or some person sitting in your house in wherever in the United States, it's going to send a message to them. But the people that aren't going to be really all that phased are the people that are doing it. And those are the quote unquote bigger fish that I mean, higher up that food chain in the grand marketing.
Yeah. You're not going after, the bars that are having a lot of people there locally. That's fair. I don't think Medvedev's going to prison either, but okay, let's take a pause here. As we start the new school year, remember bar prep is always right around the corner. You want to be prepared for that in advance. Podcast sponsored by Themis Bar Review, our oldest sponsor on the podcast, and really the reason we can do a lot of cool stuff here. So they really help power our show. Our newsletter sponsored by Themis Bar Review. Yeah, Themis is a place to go. So if you're thinking of using any other bar prep, think back like, oh, wasn't Dan talking about some bar prep thing? Am I going to really use this other company, which I'm not going to mention contractually? I cannot say that other company's name because we hate them. We don't use them. Use Themis Bar Review, and we get a lot of like friends and family discount codes. So come to us. We will certainly hook you up with that discount code. You can reach out to me personally on social media. You can reach out to the condetrimental at gmail.com. Okay, before we come back, Zach, let's hear a quick word from Conlon. First NFL betting segment of the season. So Conlon's going to join us each and every week, assuming he doesn't go on a really cold streak, but I love Conlon to death. So without further ado, let us kick it to our NFL guy and our only lawyer that's really ever on the show, Conlon Farrell. The NFL season is upon us. Conlon, of course, you are back. A sponsored segment by Better Edge, our friends over there. And Conlon, of course, we need to have a pick each and every week. You were kicked off last season because you got us a losing Super Bowl pick, but now you're back. Conlon, what do you got for us this week? And how you been? I haven't spoke to you in a bit.
I know. I'm well. Thank you, Mr. Lust. In good spirits, recently moved into Rochester, New York for a new job, new city, big things ahead.
You moved to Rochester?
I moved to Rochester. I'm up here.
You got to find our guy, John Nucci, also Rochester.
Yes. Yes. I did know Nucci was up here. I do have to get in touch with them. Yeah. But no, I'm excited, thrilled to be back. Week one is upon us. Rejoice, football fans across the world. So yeah, Better Edge, our social betting platform that we use, Greg and all those great folks over there. I got to get back on there. I got to release some winners. As you well know, I mean, I was pretty dominant. I mean, there has not been there. I was an institution last year of winning betting picks. So let's get right into it here. Sunday, I'm actually looking for an AFC South matchup that I like right now on Better Edge. You can get the Jacksonville Jaguars as 4.5-point favorites. Nail them right there. I'm telling you, this is a breakout year for Trevor Lawrence. This is a type maybe MVP conversation, Trevor Lawrence here. He's finally got a true number one receiver in Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley is coming off his year hiatus from the game for his off-the-field
for
concerns.
What? For what, Conlon? What did he get suspended for?
The big old G wordy little insider trading, little betting on the NFL.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Your job in Rochester, does it involve some type of gambling employer?
We don't call it that. We call it investing. So
okay. So we can't have you getting in trouble on the show. So just be careful here.
Yeah, exactly right. So let me say the Jacksonville Jaguars, like I said, Calvin Ridley, a true number one receiver for Trevor Lawrence. Also, people forget this defense was fifth in the NFL in takeaways last year. The Indianapolis Colts, obviously in stage one of the rebuild mode, they got Anthony Richardson. He was a little careless with the football in college at Florida. So I love the Jaguars to have a couple takeaways, maybe a pick, a fumble, a strip sack. I don't know. I think they have a defensive touchdown in this game. So I think they cover the 4.5 number easily. So week one, Conlon Farrell back on Conduct Detrimental with his Better Edge lock of the week. The Jacksonville Jaguars -4.5. Dan lost to you.
Now here, what are you like? We're in the studio. Back to you.
Yes, back to you. Yes.
I like the pick. Do you remember what was your record last year? It was impressive. You called yourself an institution. You're giving us like a wrestling promo. It was good. I feel like it was really good, actually.
Yeah, it was like I think I lost like four games. I know we didn't start until week three, so I want to say I was like. So if you take two games. So I think I was like 11.
Carry the three, carry the four.
You did 11 and 4. Yeah, you did pretty good.
I feel like you picked the Eagles in the Super Bowl, though. I feel pretty confident about that.
I did. Yeah, I will fully admit that. And I ended up watching the Super Bowl in Philadelphia. So that added insult to injury.
Did not go well. Conlon, listen, we're happy to have you back. I gave you an ultimatum last year that if you got your first pick wrong, you were kicked off the show. I think you've earned a little bit more wiggle room. Conlon, we're happy to have you back again. You want to find Colin's picks, you want to bet against Conlon, you want to bet against society, head over to Better Edge. And our friends over there use our promo code Conduct for a $20 match over at Better Edge. Conlon, anything in the sports world that's catching your interest, or you don't care? You're just a betting guy. You're just in and out at this point.
No. What sports world that's catching my interest is my own team, the New York Football Jets. They just wrapped up Hard Knocks. Thought it was a good season.
Yo, hold on. Time out. No one calls them the New York Football Jets, Conlon.
Yes, they do. Listen.
No one calls them that.
Well, the institution calls them that, and I am the institution. All right? So, yes, they are the – New York Football Jets. They are by far the superior team in New York right now. So yeah, I think this season has, I'm 26 years young. I don't think I've ever been more excited for a New York Jets season to begin with all the storylines and stuff. I just hope that unlike, several other Jets teams that have let me down, these guys go out there and at least host a playoff game. That is my bare minimum for the Jets this year, hosting a playoff game. AFC Championship, Super Bowl, that'd all be great. That should be where they land, but they bare minimum, if they do not host a playoff game at MetLife, which they haven't done since, I want to say 2004. It's been a while.
Okay. Okay. Conlon, you've walked into a little bit of a trap here. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
Okay. I didn't ask you to prepare for this, but I have a feeling that you're going to be okay with this. Jets over underline is 9.5. I've been watching it the whole offseason. I was praying, hoping that line would get to 10 from the Hard Knocks boost, and it went the other way. It actually went a little bit lower. It stayed at 9.5, but the odds kind of said it was trending towards 9. Colin, do you feel that this is a lead pipe lock here over 9.5? I'm sensing that's where you're going. I feel the opposite, but I feel like you're at 9, you're over guy.
I won't give it a lead pipe lock because of how difficult the schedule is for the New York Jets, especially early on. Okay. However, well, I would
gun to your head, Conlon. You like the over or the under?
Yes, I like the over.
Okay. Well, you might have just murdered someone. That person might have been you because it is definitely going under. And you and I can have
a little bit of it now. It seems like you're questioning the institution. Nobody questions the institution.
When did you become a professional wrestler? Your name is The Institution? Allen Iverson, The Rock?
I just deem myself that, but I kind of like it. I'm a big guy. You know what I mean? I think that fits. I think it works.
I'm gonna tell you one thing, and then I'll let you off the hook. But you and I can have some side action. It could be on the record, off the record. It's on the record. I'm slamming the under, and your New York Football Jets, which nobody calls, they call them the New York Football Giants because they used to be the New York Baseball Giants. So the New York Football Jets is slanderous and infringing on a very clear, I don't know if this is copyrighted, but it's intellectual property of the Giants. I am very much going under, Conlon. I have to tell you one thing though. You are a big guy, so the institution I think is pretty good. There was a guy on this podcast a couple weeks ago by the name of Nate Otto at Florida. You're a big dude. What are you, 6'2"?
Yeah, that's 6'2.
Nate,
2+. Yeah, 225.
I got sent a picture of Nate from University of Florida Law School by a friend of the show, Mel Stack. I think he's got you. I do not think you would win a Royal Rumble of Conduct anymore. I think Nate's got you.
Oh man. That's a shame. All right. Well, that's okay. Listen, I'm all for, the development of the farm system at Conduct Detrimental. Now that I'm upper management, I feel like I can, let the young seedlings grow into and flourish.
Oh, that's not going to make him happy. And you wouldn't like Nate Otto when he's not happy. Conlon, good job, buddy. And best of luck. Remind everybody of the pick.
Yes, the Jacksonville Jaguars in an AFC South divisional matchup, -4.5, covering easily up there in Indianapolis against those Colts.
And
take it on better.
Jets over 9.5.
Jets over 9.5.
Jets over 9.5. Okay. You can find all these lines over at Better Edge. Conlon, great job, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
So that was Conlon Farrell. Love Conlon to death. Conlon's been with us for the past couple of years, just like you have been, Zach. But it's fun watching you guys all grow up. When we met Conlon, Conlon was working kind of in a production role for a sports radio show. That radio show ceased to exist. The host kind of put Conlon and I in touch and said, hey, this guy's pretty good at a couple of different things. Maybe you can use him while he's trying to look for a real job. And I said, of course. So, Conlon took a chance on us. We took a chance on Conlon. Again, he's our only non-lawyer. He's really ever had a kind of a regular role on the show. And Conlon now, he's being modest about his job, but he moved over to Rochester with a fantastic opportunity in sports. And I was proud to say I don't know how many references he had, but I spoke to Conlon's potential employers. I gave him a good reference. And I think in his resume, he said he worked for Conduct Detrimental and whatever in a freelance role this is. But, obviously really happy to see Conlon land on his feet. And I'm happy that Conlon will join us, assuming he doesn't give us a bunch of losers in a row. I'm just kidding. We'll have Conlon back. I love Conlon to death. Okay. Speaking of things that I love to death, I like when we do these fun little, what to watch for or what's coming up. I might have a what to watch for. I guess we'll do this one. Stephanie and I had started
over the summer, Zach, and I know you and I did a podcast kind of around one of these, but we started the sports professional development series, and Stephanie just reached out to me and said, hey, you know, it'd be really cool. Like, we have all these different law students and you know, pre-law kids, and so, you know, sometimes I even have high schoolers that reach out, and it's hard to speak to everyone, especially with our busy schedules. So she's like, what if we did an event the last Friday of every month? And like, just, I don't know. It's, you know, we brought in big sports speakers. Like, we brought in a client of mine, Zach Hiller of LA Sports. We brought in Morgan Belvedere and John Adrey, who work, you know, in a UFC and WWE role. We just, you know, we did these 2 months in a row. We got an interesting email from Teamwork Online. People will know Teamwork is like the biggest sports employer / sports job board. They reached out and they said, hey, what if you do this speaker series under our banner? And we said, cool, let's set this up. So set up kind of a formal partnership with those guys. We're doing our first speaker series with them. Let's just say we got we got like 5x the amount of signups. So Teamwork is a very big vendor. We're having Adam Newman in. He's the former general deputy general counsel of the Big Ten Conference. He's the chief of staff to the Baltimore Ravens. So Adam, you know, Adam spoke at New York Law School Symposium last year. I think he's a fantastic speaker, and you know, I think he's a fantastic get for our first one. So I think we've gone over capacity. So I think there's like a wait list, but we'll have the video up somewhere. So if you, you know, if you want to register, you just be on the lookout for it. I'm not sure if there's any capacity left, but that's on September 12th, this Tuesday. We're going to have Adam Newman on with the glitz and glam of now Teamwork. Zach, Teamwork's kind of big. I was a big Teamwork guy back in the day.
Yeah, Teamwork is really big. I remember seeing the announcement and being really surprised. I mean, it's super awesome just to partner with someone like that, especially for a series like the one that you're doing with the professional development series. It's really awesome. I've definitely looked for jobs on Teamwork and actually connected with someone over the summer. I saw a job posting that I was not qualified for at the time because I'm still in law school for a company, but reached out to someone at that company from the listing, and he had used Teamwork to find the company in the first place. So he used it to find his job, which was awesome. And then got to talk about his career and his job from that. So it's a fantastic, fantastic platform to look for jobs and to just find connections, and to have them involved in something like this is going to be super useful and beneficial, and make it even better than it already was, which I didn't think was possible.
You're a company man. You're a company man for sure. Okay, so appreciate it, Zach. That one's exciting. And then coaching my daughter, first time ever as Coach Lust, coaching her on Saturday for U5. I don't think I've told the story on the podcast, but I just think it's a good one. My daughter is like, she's more of a Disney princess, but she does like superheroes. She does like Marvel. She does like Spidey and her amazing friends. And she likes Ninja Turtles, but she likes this concept of like superheroes and monsters. So we watch a little bit of Space Jam. I was trying to combine her, you know, she likes monsters and she doesn't really like sports that much, but you know, I'm a sports fan. I'll try to make it happen. But I was telling her, there's a movie called Space Jam where there are monsters, what they call the Monstars, to try to take over the world. And, you know, so getting her into the concept, she did not like the Michael Jordan scenes. Those were too much real people. She liked the Bugs Bunny and Monstar scenes. So I'm telling her, like, Dylan, listen, this is how soccer works. There's a lot of people, you know, they're kicking the balls around, but there's only one person on the field that has superpowers. And she's like, who's that? And I'm like, the goalie. The goalie can use their hands. Nobody else can use their hands. She's like, Daddy, I want to be the goalie. And I said, Dylan, you're going to be the best goalie. And the only problem is, my wife's like, you didn't really think this thing through, did you? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, people are just going to be kicking balls at your daughter all day, and she's going to cry, and she's going to get hurt. And I'm like, great call. I definitely messed that one up. So we'll see what happens. But Dylan might just be generally confused of the rules of soccer, and we might have a situation where Dylan is throwing balls into the goal because I told her that she could do that. This is going to be chaotic. This is going to be like kicking and screaming. It's going to be a chaotic Saturday, but Coach Lust, I'm up for it.
That definitely sounds interesting. And I mean, that'll be a lot of fun. You got to start somewhere. Trying to get her in with Space Jam, I think was a great, great starting point.
I thought it was.
And Dan, whenever I was in undergrad, I was a manager for the women's soccer team at Wake Forest. So I spent a lot of time out there on a competitive soccer field. They only made me run once. I almost died. All of those girls were much more athletic than I could ever dream of being, but it's a great sport, and it'll be really interesting. And add another feather to your cap. You might need to get a new hat at this point. Have two for all the feathers you have in.
I might. I also just might like just cease to exist on this earth. I just might just like implode. All good. Zach, you're the man. I appreciate joining on short notice. We try, you know, to give you guys content each and every week. There are, I think, just really just an absence of sports law content. So, you know, as much as life gets busy, we'll really make it a point to try to carve out time. And, you know, between the NIL Hour podcast and a new podcast named TBD, I have my suggestions for the name. We'll see if they go with it. We just think there's more stories that people should be covering. So, again, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't really contributed to us in any way, I know Bryce said it really at the way top of the show. If you've hung around with us for however long the show is, we implore people to contribute, not because, like, I don't know, like we need contributors. Like, we don't like make any money off the website. Like, we just, I think it's good for people's resumes, and I think it helps to have people involved. I think people see people's names, like Bryce. He kind of made light of it, but like, he's doing a speaker series for Conduct Detrimental about speaking to like MLS general counsels, and he's reaching out to people and he's saying, "Hi, I'm a contributor with Conduct Detrimental. I'm writing this." Like, he's not like random law school Joe Schmo just like doing something for no reason. Like, he's writing for a published website. So maybe those articles, I don't know if that's going to get Bryce a job, but it certainly is getting him face to face and showing these MLS general counsels like how smart he is. So I try to find people like Zach, yourself included, that go the next level. Bryce certainly has those qualities. You have those qualities. You are our mutual friend, Hannah Valente, has those qualities. Is that fair to say?
I would say that's more than fair to say.
Hannah, an agent for Raymond Representation, who is but we like Hannah. But yeah, we got plenty of friends in the show. If you want to get involved in a real meaningful way, again, email us at condetrimental@gmail.com. Okay, this episode went a little longer than I envisioned it going, but Zach, you're the best. I love having you on. You're always good on short notice, so certainly appreciate it. And yeah, I think that'll do it for us here at Conduct Detrimental. On behalf of myself, Zach, Bryce, Conlon, and all of us here at Conduct Detrimental, we will see you next time on another episode of the Sports Law Podcast, Conduct Detrimental.